Good morning. We are going to be reading Parshas Vayitzeh this Shabbos, and of course, despite the fact that Thanksgiving precedes it, that doesn't mean that we give up the Parsha. Quite the opposite. We'll find the themes of Thanksgiving and other important lessons of life right here in Parshas Vayetzeh, Maaseh Avos Siman Labanim, as a sign from the forefathers to the children. We're told, Vayikach me'abnei ha'makom v'yasem merash osab. Yaakov Avinu leaves and heads towards Charam, and he finds himself on top of a mountain in the area that Rashi identifies as Har HaMoriah, and he takes from the stones of the place and he puts them around his head. And Rashi cites the Medrash that each of the stones wanted Yaakov to place his head on that stone. So therefore, as Rashi explains, when Yaakov wakes up, the Pasuk says that what? That Vayikach es ha'evan asher sam Rash osav. He picks up the stone that he put, and Rashi explains that Hashem fused them all into one. But why did God have to fuse stones together? So Rav Zadel Epstein Zatzal explained. Rav Zadel was an 8th grade Rebbe in RJJ and many years ago, and then turned out to be this huge, massive Talmud Chacham, who when he later retired and moved to Eretz Yisrael and was living in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, he was one of the Mashpiyim, one of the Mashgichim in Torah Or. So Rav Zadel, who was one of my father's Rabbeim, explained that Hashem despises Machlokas that is based totally on this idea of Alai, on me, as opposed to you. And so thus Hashem fused the stones together to get rid of the Alai argument. We might suggest that, and we have suggested on other occasions, that one should consider the fact that the lessons of just getting ahead just by being there seem to overwhelmingly involve inanimate objects. For instance, you know, the idea of the mountains fighting each other and Hashem selecting Har Sinai. They're all inanimate objects. The Beis HaMikdash and the idea that it's not in any particular Shevet's portion. Why is that? Because Yerushalayim lo nischak l'shvatim, it's not in anybody's area. The reason might be, we suggest, because nothing grows from the argument of Alai. It's not just what happens on you or in your space. You grow based on who you choose to become. It's not about what happens onto you. It happens to what you do with your situation. We find that also in the upcoming Haftorah that we read on Shabbos Chanukah, where we're told, "Menasati lacha mahalchin bein haomdim ha'ela," that Kadosh Baruch Hu promises the Navi that he's going to give us places to move, to grow, to walk between the Malachim who just stand. Malachim are identified. They don't grow and they don't have that ability. And in that regard, man does trump Malach. And it's something for us to sort of realize ourselves. We're told, "V'inei sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia shamayma." There was a ladder on the ground, its top reached the heavens. The Skver Rebbe noted that we need to maintain a delicate balance in life. When a person's head is so high that he thinks it reaches the heavens, he needs to learn that the bottom of the ladder is on the ground, and the person's limited. On the other hand, when a person feels lower than dirt, he also needs to remember that he's a tzelem elokim, which means there's godliness in him, and his opportunities can take him to shamayim, so therefore he should reach for the stars. It's an important thing in life for us to consider. We're told that Yaakov wakes up and he calls the place Beit El. And then the Torah reminds us, "V'ulam Luz Shem Ha'il Rishona." Originally, the city was called Luz. And the Gemara in Sotan Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis notes that Luz was unique because the Malach HaMavis was not permitted to enter Luz, and so therefore nobody there died. So Rav Yashav asked, if nobody died, where's the city? And he answers that the people erred, thinking that they had achieved everything there was to achieve. They had, after all, eternal life by banning the Malach HaMavis, but that's a mistake. The main point of the place is Beit El. The purpose of life is to bring Shechina into it. But just to live life is not a plan. To make life, that's a plan. Ravobi in our morning Vod has pointed that out in his Olam HaYedidah, says the difference between living and thriving. A person has a responsibility not just to make it through life, but to actually grow through life. And that's one of the things that happens when we realize we don't care what the name of the city was once upon a time if it's not being maintained and built upon. If we're not bringing the Shechina into the world, it's just Luz L'Rishona. So Yaakov makes it to Charan, and he has this whole episode with Rachel Imein, and when he gets cheated by Lavan, but before he gets cheated, Lavan says, look, he says, stay here for Ha'ach Atzmiu B'Sariyata, you are still my relative, and he stays for 30 days, and then Lavan gets him to go to work. And the Torah immediately stops and tells us that Lavan had two daughters, Shema Achad Leah, Shema Shenes Rachel. We're told that Leah's eyes were soft. And Rashi noted that Leah cried quite often because the people would talk about her and said she was going to marry Esav. Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal notes that part of the people talking was all part of Hashem's plan. He got Leah Imenu to go ahead and push so that her contribution to Am Yisrael would be there as well. That's all part of the Hashgacha. And Rav Dessa Zatzal adds that Rachel Imenu is the main wife in Olam Hazah, Leah in Olam Haba. That's probably why Rachel is called in this parsha. It's Yaakov calls to Rachel and Leah Hasada, because the main wife, as Rashi explains, is Rachel Imenu when it comes to Olam Hazeh issues. But when they're finally in the Kever, it's Leah Imenu who is buried next to Yaakov. And Yaakov knew this from the beginning, but, as the Pasuk says, Yisaras Kolo Vayef, after he met Rachel, he realized he was going to cry because he saw he was going to be buried next to her. So the question has to ask, why was Rachel allowed to cheat Yaakov by giving the signs to Leah? Why was she allowed to allow Yaakov to be embarrassed? So Rav Shalom Shvadron Zatzal explains that Yaakov Avinu was also commanded not to embarrass Leah. And so she was watching out for both of them at the same point in time. We're told that Yaakov Avinu decides he's going to work for Rachel. And the Torah uses an incredible line. And the Torah says, "Vayubeina vayavod Yaakov b'Rachel." Yaakov works for Rachel. "Vayubeinav kiyamim achadim b'havoso osa." It seemed like nothing, but he's so much love he had for her. And we can easily see the contrast of this pasuk with the one experienced by Yaakov Avinu's children, where we're told that "Vayayanchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda vayib vayamim harabim ha'him." The Torah tells us in Parsha Shmos that it was in the long days, the king of Egypt died. They still sighed from the work. So when it came to the slavery, it was long days. And here it's Yamim Achadim, short days. What's the difference? So Mrs. Ivan Rav Meir cited a medrash which comments that the time spent sighing, that's called a long time. But time spent in happiness goes very fast. Mrs. Meir explained that our emotional condition influences our perception of time. At a time of sighs, time moves slowly. When there's love and hope, time flies. And that's perhaps something for us to think about as we're sitting in the midst of a time where there's a lot of sighing going on. Maybe what we need to do is look for a way to make the time to go faster, not through a process of distraction, but perhaps through the ability that we have to do what? To turn around and find connection, to find purpose, to find meaning. I have to say that was one of those things that seemed to make the time move faster at the beginning of the pandemic. But through the second wave, it sounds like people are starting to be worn down. Yosef Hashem li bein acher, when Rachel Imenu is finally blessed with a child, the first thing she says is, "Gee, I should have another one." What kind of gratitude is that from Rachel? I have a very good friend, Lenny Winograd, who once quoted to me from Rav David Cohn Shalita of Gvul Yaivitz, who suggested that when we turn to Hashem and we ask Him for more, in essence we're making sure that bracha never dries up. And we might suggest that we find this theme in other areas in the parsha. Like when Leah sees that she stopped having children, perhaps because she was only moda on that which she had thus far and was not looking for more of an opportunity. It can be found in Yitzchak's bracha of Yitain Lecha. We're told, "V'yitain Lecha Elokim," and when we ask Hashem to give, and as Rashi comments, "V'yasur V'yitain." It's not that we don't have hoda on what you've given me so far, it's that I have hoda and I want to have more opportunity for hoda. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to those who are moda and are looking for more. We're told at the end of the parasha, when it was time for Yaakov Avinu to go back home, Vayikra l'Rachel u'l'Leah, Yaakov sends and calls Rachel and Leah to him. And why does he need to ask his wife? Hashem told him to go home. What's the message to be contained therein? Sir Meir Shapiro Zatzal, the Lublin Rav, founder of the Daf Yomi movement, noted that according to the Mishnah Lamelech, in the Rambam, he wanted to explain to them that they were not halachically sisters, rather they had the status of gerim, and they had nothing to worry about in regard to the return, insofar as violating the halach of not marrying two sisters. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal added that one doesn't lose by choosing to do a mitzvah, and so he wanted them not to have their bechira clouded by knowing the will of Hashem, and that was really his message herein. Finally, in the Haftorah, at least the Ashkenazic version, there are two that are read this Shabbos, Ashkenazic and Sephardic. We, towards the end of the Haftorah, are introduced to the old theme of Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha, and we're told, U'neshama parim sifasenu, let our lips replace the bovines. And we once asked Rav Shechter that U'neshama parim sifasenu, does that only apply to korbanos, or can reciting other things replace other mitzvos? And Rav Shechter Shalita noted that according to the Mabit and Beis Elokim, this applies to all ones situations. If there's an ones, you can fulfill other mitzvos in the same way that you can fulfill korbanos by reciting them. However, Shachter told us the Chafetz Chaim argued, and how is that? That's why the Chafetz Chaim said that we should establish a Kachim Kolal, and he did, to study Kachim in depth. And he did not specifically say it should be a Kachim Taro Zerayim Kolal. And why is that? The Chafetz Chaim clearly felt that applied Uneshama Parm Sfaseinu applied to Karbanos and not to other mitzvahs. Sometimes in life we're trying to figure out where, what, when, what our responsibilities are, and sometimes we think we're just going to pass it through and go on from there. If I can't go ahead and pick up Lulav and Esrog, I'll talk about Lulav and Esrog. This is not always the case, and just saying it doesn't always have the ability to count for it. So therefore, let's make it our business in life to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. Not only walk the walk, but talk the talk. If we put the two pieces together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom to all.